Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. My favorite pal out there has been with me from the beginning. If anyone has known anything ahead of time about Big Pharma, about COVID, about the vaccine, about everything and anything you can imagine, it is Mike L. Thank you for joining me, my friend. Welcome back.
Thank you. I missed you guys. I know I've been on the road a lot. I was actually only home here in Florida for like 2 or 3 days the whole month of March. So
wow. Well, you're doing a lot of stuff out there. A lot of people might not know that the reason that I call you my science and pharma guys, you're actually an auditor for that industry, which gives you a very unique perspective and has from when we first started doing shows 4 years ago. So you always bring us things from the other side, the inside most people don't ever see. And I know that that's what you've been doing a lot lately. So where are we headed? What do you have for us now that you're back on track?
So today we're going to talk about a CIA document, and let's kind of talk about some of the research and some of the spin. So let me do this. Let's do the usual.
Go ahead. Okay? All set.
So guys, I apologize. I've been gone for a long time. I've been kind of busy with both work, research. We're going to talk about a topic today that's kind of complicated. We're probably not going to do this in just one show. It's going to take us at least two. But I've been working on this concept now for a couple of years. And so it's kind of a big thing. But before we get into anything, I just want to mention too, Mel, one of the things you and I talk about a lot is I always say that this shadow group, they're about 50 years ahead of us. You know, I always say that they're and my research over the last several weeks for sure have confirmed that actually I don't think that's accurate anymore. I think that their technology is a century ahead of us, if not a century and a half. You know, as we're starting to learn some of these things, I'm pulling out of the 50s, now I'm in the 70s of what they found. And there was such an accelerated learning curve between 1950 and now I'm saying in the 70s up to early 80s, the acceleration curve was absolutely remarkable the leaps and bounds of what they did. What's really interesting about what we're gonna talk about today, which is the CIA, we're not going to actually talk about the article itself a lot today. We're going to go into it a little bit differently. We're going to take a different spin today. But what's really interesting is some of this also spins off on it's actually a polar study to MK Ultra. What's interesting is as I was doing my research on this, what's really interesting is the MK Ultra with the things, nasty things that they were doing there. This is complementary in terms of what they were trying to accomplish in a lot of different ways, but a completely different approach. And this is going to make sense in a second. So guys, I know we always do this at the end too. Here I am. And I do get a lot of emails. I like that. And I do actually what I'm going to do after you post this, I'll PDF my presentation.
Oh, great.
After you post this and I'll, so that way everybody can just have it all the time.
So oh, wow. Moving forward, that's awesome. That's great.
That's what I'll do. Just moving forward. Let's do that. But
okay, cool.
Today I want to talk about this CIA release document. So in 1983, this thing was developed, and basically, this is Project Gateway. You know, we have Project Blue Beam, right? Project Looking Glass. Have we talked about Project Looking Glass yet?
Oh, we did. We did a show probably, I think, about 2 years ago. So it's been quite some time. But yeah, we did once.
Okay. Well, there's some. By the way, there's some new information on there.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's. I have to get through this before we can get to that. So
nice.
So anyway, basically, long story short is this gateway process was a CIA research. And as a result of this document, though, over the last several years, and I didn't put a lot of attention to this particular area until recently. I learned some new information. So I kind of did a loop back onto this particular one, because here's what we're seeing a lot. That CIA document confirms that our reality is a holographic image. The laws of attraction based on the human consciousness. But this is a series. There were so many articles about this as a result of the CIA. And so what happened is a lot of people looked at the document. I'm going to show you briefly, but what I want to do today is going to my research before we go into this article, because it's really it would create better value on here. Right. So this is everywhere. Scientists may have just proven that we live inside a computer simulation, confirmed we live into a computer simulation. These aren't actually accurate in terms of they are in a certain way in terms of we do live in a simulation, but it's the perception of the simulation. We're going to get into that today, quantum.
Great.
So this is it. I need everyone to bear with me on this. This is probably one of the most complex topics that we've ever talked about. And I'm going to try to take something that's extremely complex and try to peanut butter and jelly it down again.
Great. That's what you're good at.
Try to do here. Yeah, this one's a toughie, man. I've been all stressed out for like a week trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. But cool. I want to jump here first.
Okay.
So basically, leadership said to this guy, listen, we need to look into this Project Gateway. I need you to figure out why people can do remote viewing. Why do we have this alternate reality? And how can people do remote viewing? Is that really a thing? Long story short. But what's really interesting is after you get to the first paragraph about this, one of the things that's really interesting here is they actually say, before I can do any of this work, I need to research a particular scientist. I need to read his book, study his book, and then we can continue. So a big portion of this entire CAA document is basically regurgitated information from this author.
Okay.
Huh. And that is extremely important. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit. So Isaac Bentoff is the name of this individual. Now, okay. What's interesting about this particular individual is he wrote a couple of books. The first one was Stalking the Wind Pendulum, which is what we're going to talk about today. Then he wrote a second book, A Brief Tour of Higher Consciousness. Here's the interesting thing about this. The copyright of the second book was 1988. Now, the reason I bring that up and the reason that's so interesting is he was killed in a plane crash in 1979.
Oh, weird.
Bentoff was in that American Airlines flight 199 at O'Hare Airport, the terrorist attack.
Right.
He was on that plane. Yeah. But here's the interesting thing.
What are the odds? That's a guy that's in all these CIA documents.
Yeah, because we haven't seen that before, right? Simulations
of consciousness was on that plane. Hmm.
Right. But this entire research project was based on his work. All of it. So his second book, he has a co-author. What I find interesting is I have the original. The original copyright is 1988. He died 10 years before that, 9 years. Hmm. So yeah, there's a co-author on here. So I'm not so sure, either he wasn't killed and he continued his work and he was put this book out, which is not likely. I don't think that that's the case, or somebody printed this for him.
Right.
My concern about number two is it doesn't cover the same amount of depth as the first one. So I think this could be a watered down version of whatever that research was that he was doing. I've seen that before.
Yeah.
With other scientists as we have.
Right.
So I kind of, that's my suspicion. I don't know for sure. But I want to talk about this book first, because this particular book, and we're going to go up my research notes, so you're going to see a lot of scribbling. Those are actually my words.
No, I love that. Yeah.
You know how I do that, right? So,
yeah.
But what he does is, and one of the advantages he has is he's actually not a scientist. Originally, he didn't graduate from high school. So he gives us a fresh perspective of human consciousness, remote viewing, and reality as we see it. And what I find actually really remarkable is how well he breaks down this very complex topic into very easy to understand, even better than I've ever seen or I've done. He does an extremely good job. But even then, I had to read this book a couple of times to make sure I truly got the understanding of it. So what we're going to do, we're going to go through my notes, and then I want to revisit particular pages of the CIA document.
Okay, great. Cool.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, we're probably not going to get through this in one show. It's probably going to cost us two.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be worth the ride.
Great. Let's do it. I do too. This sounds exciting.
It's extremely important. So basically what they want to try to figure out is how can the human consciousness transcend time and space? And what's really interesting is time and space in this book and how he breaks that up, they aren't they're not linked. I've said to you many, many times, I always say time is not linear. What he's been able to do is to actually put examples together to show you that time and space are not connected, and space is specific to a point in time. That's why they say time, space, space, time. If you ever hear a lot of these UFO people,
yeah,
they talk and they say that they talk to the aliens. One of the things that they say, though, is when they refer to them, they'll say space, time, or time, space. And what they're doing is they're specifically referencing a particular point in a matrix that's independent of time. I know it sounds wild. Bear with me.
No, I'm digesting this, trying to figure out where we're headed, because this is all very interesting. And things that people, you know, question, don't talk about, but you see it, just you don't really delve in. And then this, I'm reading the CIA document, that this paragraph on the screen, and the person who's writing this is asking some very interesting questions.
Not only does he asked some really good questions. This guy referenced the majority of this research that he did. I don't know how long this research actually was. I look at when the print date of this document,
yeah,
but I don't know how long he started. I think what's kind of also interesting is throughout this period, though, this author died.
Oh, really?
Yes. So the timing of this is actually, it's also a little disappointing, because I think that if this individual would have continued to do more work, I think that he could have really helped scientists nowadays. What's also interesting about these two books, by the way, is in book number one, a lot of the things that we're finding now in our high technological quantum physics, he identified back in the 70s. This guy's not a genius. His perception of quantum and quantum physics and quantum reality was way ahead of his time. We're talking 25 years. Of technology. And he even states in his book, in a couple points, where he says, we don't have the technology yet to prove this, but this will happen at one point. And there's several of them that actually have come true.
Wow. So, and now I want to say, because I recall we did an amazing show where you went through a book from like 1918 and 1920 that had a lot of technology that what we would not think was possible then, that it is being talked about now, but they were talking about it in these books in, you know, 100 years ago. So this is not the first time I've seen you find something and say, you know, look, they were talking about something then that we didn't know they even thought about, or they that they were even looking at. Or, you know, we've greatly underestimated, like you always say, that you think big chunks of time have been totally erased, and a lot of information has been like memory hold in like over time from when there was no technology, but there had to have been technology of some sort, because you know, you've proven it on many shows. You've gone into like, even on the ones that we were going around for the pyramids, and you were doing the things with the steeples. It's like, that is technology. It's just different. It's so crazy to me, but this is awesome. So let's get into it.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that too, because that's actually the topic I was going to talk about today. So I've been working on these timelines and putting together all these lists of activities. And I keep learning more and more new information. And that's actually what we were going to talk about today. I got sidetracked on this, and I've been really working on this for a while. So
we can do as many Mel Kay and Mike Gell shows as we possibly can, because I love them. So
yeah, we have fun.
Let's see what's happening here. Very interesting stuff. Okay.
All right. So what I want to talk about, let's kind of go through this book at a very high level. And I have my notes here, and I got my notes in front of me too, but I'm actually showing you my actual notes from my rocket book. This is my original stuff on how I think. So as I'm reading these books, I write down just notes and I try to put it all together. So we've got about 6 pages of these that we're just going to go through them. But after we go through them, we start the CIA document, it'll all make better sense. Okay, so that's kind of, I think, the way that we should do this. But at the quantum level, consciousness itself influences experiments. We know this for a fact. We've proven this. I've done many shows on this, actually, where the molecules of a table change when an individual will consciously think about the table. Remember, we talked about that before.
Yep.
Or the concept of the split beam in a panel. What's really interesting about that is further studies shown that if you don't think about that, you get one result. But if you think about it, the particles actually appear to go back in time and change based on your perception of what they're doing, based on your expectations. So the human consciousness greatly influences a lot of our experiments, and we can't just take that out of these equations moving forward. This is what this is going to show us, is that the human consciousness affects all of our quantum environment at every level.
Wow.
And it is not contingent on time or space. That's what he's going to show in this book. It's amazing. But so one of the first things that he talks about is, first, in terms of you go from a chaotic state into order. And the higher you go up into a system, the more order that becomes. And he gives a couple of examples here. And I want to use, I want to pause here just for a minute and explain that what I mean by that is, when you look at, let's look at a plant in the human body. So the human body is obviously very complex. And what you have at one point is a great deal of energy that has now been condensed down, and there's a great deal of order. We have cells, we have organs, we have, you know, our consciousness, we have energy, and it's focused down. But we don't start that way. And when we eat food, we eat it from plants that takes it from the soil. And as things start from a order of chaos, it goes to a position of order. Right. Then it cycles back. Remember yin and yang?
Yeah.
When you die, what happens? You go back into where you started from. So it's a full circle. And so what he's saying is all complex systems have a high level of order. So human beings would be an example of that. As you go down that, it'd be like the food chain.
Right.
You get less complex systems, you get more disorder.
Right.
So for example, animals don't have, animals think, but they don't have compassion, or they have love. They're capable of love, but they don't have complex problem solving skills like we do. And then you go down to plants and they don't even have to a certain degree, a high level of consciousness, right? They communicate, but they don't have a high level of consciousness. So, but all of this is based on energy. So with that in mind, now we have to go to the next part, which is, everything in our world and as we see it is energy. So when you get down to a quantum level, let's say you're looking at a bone. When you look at a bone, it appears to be extremely dense, right? The bone is stronger than steel in a compressed state. Like I think it's like 200 times stronger than steel.
Wow.
But as you continue to look down further and further into that bone at a subparticle level, the space between these particles is empty. There's nothing there. So you're looking at it as you come up from a high level, you're seeing something that's very condensed. But when you go to the quantum level, all you're seeing is energy. So we're seeing something that is a solid mass, but as you get down to extremely small, past microscopic levels, 10 to the minus 23, you're talking about there's nothing there. It's empty. And in between these two particles is simply energy that's moving. It's movement. That's all it is. So this is the predecessor for where he takes you in this book about the human consciousness. He says, first, you need to understand that this exists. Then he talks about this next part that you have to understand before you can go into quantum physics and human consciousness, is he talks about waves and the concept of waves. Now, we've talked about sound waves and frequencies before. Right. The old concept was that sound waves were two-dimensional, but they're not two-dimensional. We've proven that they're actually five-dimensional, and they're actually a pulse instead of a wave. But for the sake of here and what we're trying to explain, by the way, he didn't know that at the time. So within a wave, you have standing waves. Think about if you take a pebble, you throw it in a pond. So if you take a pebble in a pond, what do you have? You have a series of waves that go through there. Right. In order for that to exist, there has to be space between those waves. So if you have a wave that goes like this, there's space between them. And that's a moment of, this is movement. The lower portion of the wave is no movement. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, the human brain, what's interesting about the human brain is the human brain can only compare things. So if you listen to a sound or you see movement, all you see is it went from here to here. You actually never see an object when it's not moving to some degree. It's always moving. Everything is always moving. It's just that our brain perceives only differences. Our brains can only differentiate between differences in sound and different things. One of the reasons that that's important in this concept is if we don't have a baseline to, because we only compare, we can't learn new sounds or see new things.
We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkayshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now.
And in this third dimensional reality, there's one concept that is held true all the way through science, is nothing in our universe that's a solid object can go faster than the speed of light. So if we're playing a video game, for example, if we're playing a shooter game, if you ever notice when you're playing those games, does Rob play those?
No, but his son does a lot and he gets in big trouble because he used to play too much. But yeah, we have him in the house, that's for sure.
So, but as you go through these games, what's really, really interesting is your perception of that reality is based on what's in front of you. Now, you can look around in these worlds, but the world actually, you can't see beyond a certain distance, right? You can only see it when you get to there. So we're
right.
Moving,
oh, right. Yeah.
We're moving through that. So the speed of light would be comparable to that, where in our world, in our consciousness, nothing can go faster than the speed of light. So that's actually our threshold for everything based on reality here. You can't go faster than the speed of light. You can bend time, but you cannot in this reality go faster than the speed of light. There are two ways based on Einstein's theory that you can actually, you're not going faster than the speed of light, but you can bend time. There's two ways to do that. You can create what's called a wormhole where you have a piece of paper, you've seen this.
Right, yeah,
of course.
You take a piece
of paper and you fold it over on top of itself and you go from point A to point B.
Yeah.
So really what you've done is you're not going faster than the speed of time. You've just eliminated time or speed of light.
Right. This sounds like Stranger Things. You see Stranger Things where they go into time.
This is where a lot of this comes from. And then remember the Malaysia flight that we were talking about a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, if you recall, and I don't know if people went back to that video, but what's really interesting is there was a third orb, a fourth orb ahead of them. Now, that goes back to Einstein's second portion of the theory of relativity, which means if you want to go across the room, you'll take the carpeting and you'll pull the carpet to you, you'll step onto that and you've crossed that same distance without the concept of time. Hmm. That's how you beat time, because you can't accelerate then past the speed of light, so you beat time. So with that understanding now, we know that we are capable of going, if time doesn't become a factor, now he'll spend the next six chapters saying, we can understand that if time isn't a factor, we can be everywhere, anywhere, because time is no longer a factor. If you have to go across the room and time wasn't a factor, it's irrelevant what the distance is, because you can be in two places at one time. Now, why this is important also is many of the things that you and I have talked about before, where people can think things across and they can actually, you know, how people can heal remotely, they can see remotely. These things we've proven we can prove it scientifically that that happens. What that means is the human consciousness is not contained by time. Now, think about that for a second. What that means is the human consciousness is capable of going forward in time as well as backward in time, and time no longer exists. This is the theory of this Project Gateway. That's the whole foundation of what this is. That's where they start.
And what were they trying? What was the Project Gateway? What was the goal, or was there not a goal? Was it more of an exploration?
Well, in Project Gateway, the first portion of that was first to understand this conscious human consciousness and why are people successfully remotely viewing, and how can people be in two places at once?
Right. Okay.
That's what they're trying to do. Now, there's enough documentation to show that remote viewing is an effective, it works. It's through meditation, and there are ways to
shocking.
Do it.
I can work. Shocking stuff. I used to think that it was totally BS, but, and you know, and I don't know. I'm at a point where I pretty much think everything is possible.
That's really,
I mean,
Mel, at this point in time, that's exactly that's the conclusion that I've reached is, as I've been doing these research and I've been seeing this, especially over the last couple of weeks, you know, I've seen some science that is way beyond comprehension at this point.
And what's very interesting, Michael, to be talking about this right now, and I just want to put this across to the audience as well, is that there seems to be a concerted effort on a very high level, and I'm talking, you know, what I call the parent company of planet Earth right now, to dumb down people to not even look at science. To just, it's over there. Like, I don't know if you saw the Kurzweil interview with Joe Rogan, where he was acting as if he knows nothing about anything. This man who's been on the forefront of the singularity and all of that was literally acting like, I don't know, maybe that's how he communicates. But if you were watching that, you were thinking, this guy doesn't know anything. And his whole life has been invested in that, or all the surface information that comes out about AI, but very little about what they've done with advanced AI, like talking back to the 50s and the 70s, like the times that you're talking about, they're way ahead. But they talk about it like, well, you know, AI might come along soon, as if we saw war games in the 80s, you know, and with the simulations of war and the computer is the one that's going to execute the war. You know, it seems like there's a concerted effort to make people not look at science or physics or any of this at all.
You're 100% correct. And that's something that I've been saying all along.
You have. Yeah. It's become more and more obvious and more clear as time goes on. The dumbing down of the child is now the dumbing down of society on the highest level, coming from the top. And people aren't even questioning things anymore. They're just in a constant state of, you know, sensory overload. They're just constantly like, there's no time to stop and ponder and think like what we're talking about here. And I hope people are taking a moment, but people are very interested in this, especially in the quantum physics, the consciousness, frequency. But these are things that it appears that people that are controlling the narrative want to have people not even think about it all. That's all I'm saying. Like, there's not an encouragement for science out there outside of the controlled realm.
Well, here's the irony behind this, your statement. You're 100% correct. And I always thought that we were in a 50-year growth negative curve on this, but we're not. We're at least a century, if not a century and a half behind, based on what I've been seeing and what I've been reading. Okay. Yeah. So what's really interesting about this particular subject matter is, back in the 70s, 80s, this was all taboo. Nobody touched it. But how ironic is it that the CIA, the high level of the CIA said, hey, listen, can you look into this? And because we think that it might be important, because we've been torturing people and we know that human consciousness expands beyond, you know, what this is going to be. And they picked this guy's books. And that's the foundation of all of this research as they go through. And I have a very strong suspicion, by the way, Project Gateway was only the first step. I think that this is way past this at this point, way past this. That's what I think. That's Mike's opinion. Today we get Mike's opinion.
Great. Can we go? I love Mike's opinion. Mike's been right about so much in the last 4 years. I see things. I just saw on a mainstream, not mainstream, but semi-mainstream. I don't go to the actual mainstream fake news world, but the semi-mainstream. I just saw a whole thing on pyramids all over the world that we don't know about. And I'm like, oh, Michael did a show on that 3.5 years ago.
Yeah. But wait till they talk about the three buried cities that they found.
Oh yeah, that too. I've been seeing this stuff that you brought up like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, with Rob looking at me across the room like,
Yeah.
They're talking about, but that's because I'm saying there's some kind of battle that we've discussed before. And I'm sure the audience has seen this between trying to shut down any thinking or any diving or by people. They want to silo it. They want to do what they're doing with everything else, which is centralize all power. But I think they're trying to centralize all science and technology as well. If you look at how they gobble up any company or any scientists, you've talked about this with the patents and with the research. But yeah, after COVID, now everyone can see it. And it's becoming more and more obvious, especially as we get to things like what you're talking about now.
Yeah. And what's interesting about science too, let's pause here because you're spot on here. What's interesting about science is back in around the late 1800s, before 1900, a scientist knew all areas. You know, when they write about science, you know, you look at like Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, these guys were mathematicians, they were architects, you know, they had it all. And then science became singular. You had biology, you have chemistry, none of them, they're not the same, right? And
siloed, split. Right.
They're all siloed and split. One of the things that I've always said, especially in probably the last decade of my career, is all of this is kind of linked. And the more we learn, the more we realize that it's all the same, right? Right. We're back where we should be. Now, the fact that we're back where we should be, I think is a good thing. Yeah. Now, that's why when I read the CIA article, it's not the article itself that's important. It's, I took a different approach. I said, what did they use to do their research? And that's why these books stood out. There's four or five referenced in the CIA document, and I'll forward it out to you. But what's really interesting is this research stems everything that follows this. Project Gateway is step one.
Right.
By the way.
Okay.
Step one.
We're taking notes.
All right. So one concept we have to understand in order for us to move forward is the concept of holographic images. Now here's what's funny about this. So the understanding the idea of holographic images started around 1969. There's a series of books that came out when holographic imaging started to become perfective was when they created laser technology. Laser technology was like the stepping stone to create these holographic images. Now you can't tell a holographic image from reality. It's so precise. So half the stuff you see may not even exist, and they can do it precisely.
Right, right.
But what's interesting about this particular scientist, I'm going to call him a scientist because his approach is extremely...
Well, we have to start also redefining what degrees actually mean in reality, because a lot of the early books you had, they had science and technology, and then they didn't even have programs. So only the very, very wealthy aristocracy could go. And those weren't the people writing those books. So, I mean, everyone should be reexamining what you know, the technocracy really is right now. So I like that idea.
Yeah, there's a gap of about 300 years in particular where there was a major advancement in society. And it's just not in any of the books. Yeah. It is in, if you identify specific books that are extremely old, you can still find this stuff.
Well, you've That's done that. And yeah, also, I want to remind people what you taught me, which has really helped me in my own research, is you always say, it's not in the article that you're reading. It's in the footnotes of the article that you're reading where you can really find the information.
That's the blood and guts of it.
That's a little trick you taught me about 3 years ago that made my research much better.
Yeah, because you're really finding their sources, and then the sources often have sources. And so,
right, exactly. And then you realize that the person that's writing the article you're reading synthesized the same information, and maybe you came to a different conclusion, which has been my journey so far and what I do on the other side of this.
Yeah. And by the way, even when I was over in Europe, I was still keeping tabs on you. So that was kind of cool. You're still fighting the fight. And I'm like, yeah, she's still going. That's good.
Yeah.
So now that before we can get into holographic imaging, which is going to be really important when we start talking about the consciousness and the ability to move through time, we need to pause here and talk about, and let's understand what holographic means, because a two-dimensional object actually has a three-dimensional shape to it. It actually can. So does sound. And what I didn't include in here, I really wanted to, is there's a temple in India and it has like 57 pillars and all of them make a different sound, but they're solid. They're solid granite with different mixtures. And what's interesting is each one will make the sound of a particular instrument. And that's cool. That's really cool stuff. And, you know, the technology was there. That's not what was so amazing about this particular temple. It's in India. Is when you look on the ceiling, they have these sculptures that come out of the ceiling. And those, now that we know it, we couldn't do this before. Those forms are actual sculptures of three-dimensional sound.
Wow.
A D, you know, all the different sound variables.
Yeah.
They actually put on the ceilings of this temple, you know, this thing's 1,000 years old, on the right. Ceilings of the temple is three-dimensional sound. Now, we've walked through that thing, what? 10 million people could have walked through that. Wow, that's really cool. That's a pretty cool shape. Right. It wasn't until recently when I showed you like the seismogram where you could actually take it and see sound in 3D. They were like, wait a minute. That's actually a sound. That's the letter D. This entire building with all of these pillars, the whole building is based on pure sound. Literally. The whole building. So to your point, they were way past us in understanding this stuff. We're now just learning that sound is five-dimensional and you can actually make a three-dimensional picture. Here's the other thing. A two-dimensional photograph has a three-dimensional image embedded in it. The memory already exists. So you can take a picture, just a regular picture, and if you put the light on it and hit it with the right amount of laser, you create a three-dimensional figure off of a two-dimensional picture. And I'm going to explain how that works right now.
Cool.
This is kind of cool. So let's go back to, there's two types of sound. So sound construction and sound, I call it sound construction and sound destruction. Now, sound construction, what that means is you've got two sound waves of the same shape added together. So if you have two sounds that are moving and they have the same arcs, and if you superimpose those two, what will happen is the arcs will simply double in size and it's in pure harmony. Everything is in pure harmony. Okay. However, if you have one at, let's say, 50 megahertz, but the other one's at 30 megahertz, you will actually get interference patterns. It will not create harmony. But what you will create is a third wave. Because the two, you superimpose them, they're not in harmony together, it creates a third wave that goes around that. And it's into those skips that are between those two. We'll call it, it's a beat. Because they're not in harmony. The most important thing that we must remember as we go through these notes and you read this article is everything in here is based on harmony and harmony only. So our bodies, the way our heart moves, the way our heart beats is all based on harmony. Now the heart, what's interesting about the heart, by the way, is the heart has a specific frequency and a specific pendulum movement. If you stop breathing, the heart pump stops. In direct correlation to you stopping to breathe. Now, I don't recommend people can do that for a long period of time, right? Because that's not good. But what happens is, as soon as you do that, the pendulum goes back to harmony and it continues to produce the blood and push it through the body. Yeah. So the heart is always in constant movement and it's in harmony with your breathing at all times. Now, that concept is important because the human brain is identical. If you have wave frequencies or sound frequencies, remember I've been talking about sound for ages, but I'll tell you why some of these sound frequencies, I'll explain today, maybe tomorrow, why the sound frequencies aren't the complete answer to help. I've been saying that all along. I said, that's not it. We're missing something.
Yeah,
and
I've been saying
that. It's in here. I haven't figured out the complete answer, but we're closer. So great. Now that we know that, we can move into the next piece of this. So we must be in harmony. We're creating a third wave, which would create a beat. By the way, that's what the brain responds to, is the beat, because we can only tell the difference of something, right? Remember I said that? If something is different, we can't recognize that they're different. We can only recognize that there is a difference. And that difference is that third wave that's called a beat. That's what our brain can recognize. Now that, as we move forward, that applies to everything because it's based on energy. So when you see something or you visualize something, your conscious mind has already made a determination of what it is actually before it happens. Because by the time you've seen it, it's already happened. So even in that short distance of time, it's in, already in the past.
Wowie.
Speaking of that, can I talk about it on a side note?
Yeah.
So CERN gets revved back up, right?
I saw, yeah.
One of the founders of that CERN project died that day on the day of the eclipse. And here's the other interesting thing that came out of that, just on a side note. I'm going to talk about that later, but when they were running some of those runs, some of those big runs where they were doing the acceleration, particle acceleration,
yeah,
they found new star systems after they ran that.
Just now?
Each time.
Oh, each time. Wow.
So
I don't know what they're doing there, but it's those people are terrifying to me.
They're messing with the fabric of time, but not reality is what they do. And there's actually, we'll talk about it later, because there's actually a lot going on over there. There's a lot of...
No doubt. There's a lot going on there.
It's a hot... By the way, there's a lot of pro-propaganda coming out on them too. So
I know. Especially the last week during the whole eclipse, I was like, oh no, this is... Because you did a whole show a long time ago on what they were trying to do there. And then what was coming out was like, it's made no sense. And then of course, you know, they have all the satanic imagery and the little, you know, the things that they do outside there. I mean, those are real things. They're actually doing some kind of rituals and stuff, but we don't know what they are doing. It just looks terrifying. And they have that Shiva statue, you know, so whatever it is, somebody's got to figure that out someday. And you are well on your way, but let's go back to this. But in the meantime, we'll put that in our, we're all, you know how I feel, CERN and Antarctica. I can talk about both of them for hours.
Yeah. There's new information on that. We do need to talk about that.
We're getting back on track to our regular Mike L meeting. So I'm sure we'll get there. So go ahead.
We are. And this is probably going to be a two-pointer, two shower, because there's a lot here, guys. So now let's talk about what I just kind of alluded to this. Humans, our perception is based on comparisons. Hot, cold, dark, bright, moving from one point to the other. We can't interpret anything in between, actually. But what's happening in between is the most important thing. It's not from point A to point B or something moved. Is what happens in between there that's so important. And what's happening in between there, I'm going to kind of jump ahead a little bit because I get real excited about this, is it's moving to a stationary object, if it's not seen by the conscious mind, moves into a different dimension and only reappears when the human consciousness makes note of it. So we'll see it from here to here in terms, I know this is hard, bear with me.
Man.
When we see an object and we think that it's moved, but we only see that it's moving, it actually is going into a dimension and moving out when it's in idle state. We only see things, everything that we see is always moving, moving energy. Everything is moving. We don't see things in a state of not moving, period. We can't. Everything is moving. So this guy's focus is, well, what happens when it's not moving? If we have to see everything that's moving, where does it go when it's not moving? And so that's where this gets a little complicated, but let's Mike, stay focused. All right. So we can only see perceptions of comparisons in everything that we do. So our brain can't comprehend anything. We can only compare it. So we have zero baseline. So we're like playing a game, but we don't have the code. So when you see something in a game, everything is based on, it's during the light, it's daylight, we have darkness. This water's hot, this water's cold. That's all we can do is, if you notice, everything we do is compare. So let's look at a grandfather clock. And this example, I'm going to kind of expand on it. But basically, in his book, he uses this example. And this talks about harmony. If we have, in my picture, I got four pendulums like you have on a grandfather clock. Remember those old grandfather clocks that have the pendulum?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
So what I want you to do is think that you have four of them sitting in front of you. And each of them are going to start at a different angle. So the first one will go up all the way to 90 degrees. The one next to it, let's start the opposite way and we'll have it go 90 degrees. And then the other two, let's start about halfway between at about a 45 degree angle. And we release them all at the same time. What you'll notice is obviously there's no harmony. Right. They're all going at a different time. But what will happen at one point in time is the movement becomes into harmony and they'll all be moving in exact unison. What this means is energy must maintain harmony at all times. Oh, wow. Even, and the axis, the action of moving of a pendulum as it's pushing air is energy. We can't sense that because it's so subtle, but everything around us has that level of energy being moved. And what you're seeing when you see a pendulum move, it's moving air and it's moving energy. And at one point in time, all of this, all of these four will go into direct harmony. Now, is this the only example? Absolutely not. Let's look at four women that live in a house. Many times, if you notice, like mothers and daughters been there, their menstrual cycles all hit the same time. Like one of my friends, he's got three girls.
Right.
And he's like, oh man.
Right.
It's like hell, you know? And, but what happens though is the human body always seeks that natural harmony with earth, with movement, with other individuals. There's always this natural movement towards energy to get into harmony. Now, why is that important for us? I'm going to pause here. This is really important. Is all of the things that we see, and I've talked about for the last several years, the chemtrails, the 5G, all of these different things are removing us, even the sound of our music changing.
Right.
Right? All of that disrupts this natural harmony.
Right.
All of it. So our perception of reality becomes even more difficult.
It's being manipulated.
Because it's being manipulated and we're out of harmony.
Wow. Hi guys, thank you for watching the show. You know, I'm always telling you to be prepared and expect the unexpected. Well, the Wellness Company has great medical emergency kits to make sure you can do just that. In a world where supply chain vulnerabilities threaten our access to life-saving medication, I highly recommend you get a Wellness Company medical emergency kit. With 8 essential medications, including amoxicillin, Z-Pak, and ivermectin, you can be prepared for any medical emergency that comes your way. They have a medical emergency kit, a contagion kit, a emergency travel kit, and a first aid emergency kit. To support your own health and support the Mel Kay Show, please go to twc.health/MelKay now and use code MelKay for big savings at checkout. Don't wait until it's too late. Take back control of your health today with the Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit. Because when it comes to your family's well-being, preparedness is key. The Wellness Company, empowering you to face the unexpected with confidence.
Completely.
Maybe that's why there's so much chaos. Well, this is the order out of chaos. Maybe that's why there's so much chaos, because a lot of this is being done by design, on purpose. The chemtrails, a lot of the stuff that's happening, you know, that you talk about all the time, the different manipulations, but also even nuclear war, you know, all this stuff. This is not with nature. It's not harm, you know, like you said.
Yeah. And what I thought originally was it was all based on frequency. It's not that's not an accurate statement. What it is, it's a disruption in the energy fields. It's not just frequency, because energy is at the pure sense of what you get out of that. And that's that subtle energy that we're talking about, right? And that's what's happening here. Now, what's interesting when we talk about
you've gone back to this a lot, because I tend to think about the energy, where you had like those two panels that were really far away. And if they could exactly see each other in the middle, there was all free energy and everything. But if they were manipulated, then that would disrupt that. So maybe even on the scale, because we've talked about free energy since we first started doing shows, that energy and Tesla and all that. Well, if they're quite possibly being manipulated on purpose, because the people that are manipulating them know that what you're saying right now. If it was in harmony with the energy was in harmony, it would be, there would be no disruption, no, no need to go, you know, do all the things that we have to do that always include a lot of money and time and effort and all of that. If there was harmony restored as intended, you'd be in a lot different place, maybe.
No, you're 100% correct. You made an interesting point, by the way. You remember when I was showing you that they could transmit energy up a mountain?
Yeah, I do. That was a great show.
This, by the way, this occurred to me when I was watching the situation in Hawaii. If you can transport energy from one device to the other, you've created a directed energy weapon. Because if you can take energy and transmit it over a distance and have it end up at a particular location, that's a directed energy weapon that right. you've just created on a bad scale, right? I'm talking about good is when you're...
No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Bad scale.
So it's kind of interesting. So now let's get through this piece and then maybe the next session we'll do CIA. And I can do one tomorrow too, by the way.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, we'll do that.
Let me, I want to go back here really quick. So we need to talk about holographic for a moment. So to explain the holographic image, and when we talk about the two-dimensional, what I want to, the example that I use in the book, by the way, is probably the best example. And I couldn't even think of a better one. If you have a pond and you take three rocks and you drop them simultaneously at the exact same time, right? If you throw one in, it creates wave. We've talked about that. When you create three, those waves overlap each other. Right? At each point, those waves will overlap each other at exact distances. Now, keep in mind, the caveat here is all the pebbles are the same size. The pond is this perfect circle. Now, when you drop all three, you theoretically then can pinpoint exactly where in the pond those were based on those waves and where they intersect each other. So now, if you instantly freeze that pond, okay?
Yeah,
you created a memory of action in time because it's frozen. You've literally frozen time. Now, let's say, and this is the example that he uses. And what's funny is this exact example I'm about to give you is word for word in the CIA document. This is what's so interesting. Word for word. They didn't even bother wordsmithing it, for God's sakes. So if you drop that, and let's say you only picked up a section of it, now, what you've created now is a section where they intersected each other and where one potential of the three pebbles could be, right? Based on that information, if you take light and you surround it in specific spots, you can create a three-dimensional holographic image of the entire pond from only one piece of that ice. You don't need the other two anymore. That's why you can take a two-dimensional picture and create a three-dimensional image. That technology, the only way that that can happen is if your lights are positioned and you're using a very specific type of laser, very refined. Huh. That's why you can create a three-dimensional image based on a two-dimensional photograph.
Wow. We do have to wrap up. So let's wrap up this one. And then we're going to have a part two. We'll probably have a part three because I can see that this is going farther than that. And I hope people remember how Michael and I work. We lay the groundwork. Then he brings in the second thing, which is the mind explosion.
Yeah, then your mind blows up.
Sense of it. So where do we want to end this one?
I'm going to end this one with just one more slide.
Great.
Do you remember this a long time ago where I was talking about you can cut a leaf and you actually do an image and that the actual energy of the leaf still exists?
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
That is exactly coinciding with what we're talking about. This energy of that leaf always existed and it always will exist. Now, our technology only allows us to see this for a short period of time, this energy, but this energy around where that leaf is and always will be there. Now, what's kind of important about that too, Mel, is let's take a leap on this one before we close up.
Okay.
If you have a veteran that's lost a limb, the question that I want to ask everybody is that limb truly gone? Because according to this picture and according to what we're learning, that limb isn't gone. The image of that limb is there. So theoretically, you could build that limb back. I know this is, it's a stretch, but this shows that very thing. And I've seen some of this stuff where they can grow things like this. I've seen where they can grow an ear.
I know you, this is incredible stuff. I mean, I don't doubt any of this, honestly, at this point. I really don't.
So I'll stop there before we go back into this. I hope it was enough where people can kind of at least start grasping this. If you really want to know when we're going into depth, you could pick this up. I just did a concise version of this. I'm going to do a more in-depth one. And my PDFs, I'll send out all my notes on this book too, by the way, guys.
Okay, yeah, we're going to talk about that too, because we're expanding the resource page and we have a whole process that you can put anything you want there. But this is all fascinating stuff. And Michael's been away for a while, but this is how we do things here. If you're new to the show, we have some new people. He kind of lays out where we're going. And then hopefully people out there have some information on this, know about this, then they can email Michael or me, and we share information in between. And then on part two, we bring in what you have to say. There's lots of people out there that have had careers in science or did it as a hobby or do what Michael does. He is like a Back to the Future lab in his garage type thing. And is always doing science experiments. So this is a place to decentralized science. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at decentralized, taking it back to the people, to the actual artists, the talent, to the creativity, to the ingenuity. So if you have anything to share with anything we've talked about so far, please reach out to Michael or to me and we'll share the notes. And then in part two, we can incorporate in anything that you want to share with us so far. But I hope you understand where we're headed, and we're headed in understanding a little bit about some of this technology that has obviously been out there for a long time, could be very useful to humanity, and is not being used to our benefit, or at least is not being even discussed or told to us because people do not want that. And we do. So that's what me and Michael do. We search for hidden technology and ways to bring it to the actual people so that humanity can benefit. So any last words, Michael? You've been all over the place. Anything
to say to the folks? First, it's good to see you again.
You too.
You know, even her and I get to keep in contact, but it's good to actually see you and talk with you again. I missed everybody. Bear with us on this one. This one's a deep one. This is probably one of the more complex ones we've done. Right. So we'll get through it. And in the meantime, I'll add additional notes. And when this one comes out, we'll roll out all the PDFs on it.
Great. Awesome.
God bless you, Mel. Keep up the fight.
Thank you so much, sir. I'll see you for part two very shortly. Thank you.
All right. Part two.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
It's that time of year again. People are getting sick. They're getting the flu. They're getting the cold. They're getting all different kinds of things. And I have always been very grateful for my friendship with Dr. Zelenko, Dr. Z. And though he's not with us anymore and I miss him every day, he has left behind the best remedy to me for anything that ails you. And that is Z-Stack from Dr. Zelenko. There's Z-Flu, Z-Stack, and Z-Kids. There's also many other products there. It's all about naturally boosting your immune health and fighting anything that comes your way. Dr. Zelenko was ahead of his time. He is out there fighting for us still to this day, and he's left behind the best gift. The gift is your health. So go to MelKDrZ.com, or you can go to my partner's page at TheMelKShow.com, click Dr. Z or Z-Stack. Better health for us all awaits. Thank you, Dr. Zelenko. Did you know that there are more than 60,000 known chemicals in tap water, and the EPA only tests for 91 of them? This is why we're so grateful that we partnered with Healthy Hydration. They offer whole home water filtration, shower filters, under-the-counter pre-filters, molecular hydrogen water machines, hydrogen water bottles, and so much more for a healthier home and family. So go to themelkshow.com and click on our partners page and check out Healthy Hydration and everything they have in store for your health and wellness today. Mm-hmm.